It's showtime, folks. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe. Friday edition, 102.5, 106.3, the game. He is Big Joe Dubin. I am Chase McCabe, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos, ready to entertain and laugh and all those things. What's up, JoJo?
What's happening? I was feeling pretty good to listen to Robbie Stanley, and he tells me that he's worried about Arkansas and Tennessee. Now I'm worried about Arkansas and Tennessee. Damn you, Robbie Stanley.
I know there's so many people that are worried about that game. Like, I was on Silly Underdogs yesterday.
Oh, how'd that go?
It was good.
And can I find that anywhere? I love that segment.
TheGameNashville.com is
Thank
where you.
You
can find it. Right. I know it's your favorite. And Derek went Arkansas. And I'm like, guys, like, what? Like, okay, fine. You know, let's just wait and see. I just think Tennessee's a better team.
Yeah, I do too as well. But it's just when more people, because the Oklahoma talk wasn't there. I was like, oh, that made Oklahoma. And now there's more
people.
No, it was there.
I feel like it's more Arkansas.
Well, I think more people are worried about this game now than they were the Arkansas game. Anyway, Vols in prime time tomorrow night, which is the third time already this year.
Yeah, and it's Fowler and Herb Street, too.
Remember, it is, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, because Herb Street has to post every week his travel.
I saw that.
Just so you know how much he's traveling. And so he did the Thursday night game last night in Atlanta. With the best-looking football field in best-looking uniforms I've seen in a long time.
Absolutely.
And then he goes home, or to Louisville, for his son's game.
Yep.
And then he's going out to Berkeley for game day. And then he flies to Fayetteville for Tennessee, Arkansas, and then back home.
And then back home, yeah. I saw it. That was on his Twitter account. I'm like, poor guy, all that traveling. Anywho.
You were up in the air and the dog starts farting. It's probably not good.
What's that dog's name? Burke? Ben.
Ben.
Ben. Yeah. Okay.
Big good fella.
Good. Is that what he calls him?
Yeah. Okay. Big fella.
That was, remember when the Vols couldn't get on Nickelodeon?
And oh,
now,
yeah.
You know, you're on all the big, and still got some big games left in Georgia. I mean, they're all televised, but the Alabama and the Georgia game are going to be.
Yeah, well, I don't know. The Derek Dooley era was pretty much all Nickelodeon. But
do you remember the game he coached where he sat on a stool?
Yes, because he hurt himself or something.
He sat on a stool. And somebody photoshopped a guitar in his arm, and it says, "Gather around, folks. Let me tell you about the time I ruined a program." And it was just the best meme ever. God, that was a South Carolina game of like 2012, I think.
Something like that. So what's funny is I was going through some old stuff the other day, and I found a Tennessee hat. And I'm like, why do I have this? And I noticed there was a signature on it. And I'm like, oh, somebody signed it. And I looked at it, and I was like, oh, no. It was Derek Dooley. So I have two pieces of Tennessee signed memorabilia. One is T. Martin, and one is Derek Dooley. One of these is unlike the other.
Right. I get a few times to interview Derek Dooley. I did him at the Vol alumni luncheon they used to have over at Lipscomb. And he was headed down to SEC Media Days the next day for his first day. And I said, are you ready? He's like, ready for what? I said, to go down. He's like, you mean the Den of Thieves? I was like, well, what are we talking about here? I said, you going to Media Days tomorrow? He goes, yeah, I'm ready for everybody. I was like, okay. All right, well, you go do that and have fun down there. So that was 2010. The first year that he did that. So Vol fans, celebrate, because you went through some hell from 08 to Kiffin to Dooley to Butch's years to Butch's downfall to Pruitt. My goodness.
Oh, I know. So it'll be fun, and we'll obviously spend a lot of time talking college football with the Titans out off this week. Big show planned to talk some high school football at 9:30. WWE SmackDown is at Bridgestone Arena tonight. Superstars, the women's champion Nia Jax and Miss Money in the Bank Tiffany Stratton will be in studio with us at 10 o'clock. So looking forward to that and having them in here. And maybe Nia Jax will body slam Big Joe through the table.
Oh, do I get workman's comp for that?
No.
It's in my job.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll talk about
it. One of my six jobs. So
Chris Sanders will join us at 10:30 as well. Did you watch the Thursday night game last night?
Yes, I watched the fourth quarter.
It was. I watched the whole thing, and it's the best Thursday night game I've seen in a very long time.
And I tweeted out, finally, you know, the Falcons drive in the fourth quarter. Finally a team in the NFL that has some urgency. I've watched the NFL almost all, I mean, all, not all the games, a lot on Sundays. There's no urgency in the National Football League. The Falcons had it last night, and guess what? They won the game.
Yep. And, it, I mean, it, that final drive in overtime was just was unbelievable. Like, Drake London gets hurt, and I'm like, oh, no. Like, he had gotten banged up a couple times in the game. Like, that's their best receiver. And then whoever number 12 is, all of a sudden, out of nowhere.
Yeah, my son-in-law played against him in high school down in Mississippi, and he texted me. He's like, that was the fastest guy ever. And I looked that guy up, and I was like, he went to Prairie View, and then he went to Hines Community College, and he ends up in the National Football League. We talk about this all the time in life, in athletics, opportunities.
Yeah.
He got an opportunity last night to show what he could do. When he turned the Jets on, he was gone.
Yeah.
He was gone. That was great.
The NFL need, you know, like if they're going to continue this Thursday night product, I mean, and Kirk Cousins needed to win one in primetime too, but they needed a good Thursday night game, and I definitely feel like they got it.
Yeah. And so what's the Sunday night game this week?
Cowboys Steelers, I think. Yeah.
Nice. Hello? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Am I here? Okay. I sound like I'm in echoing.
Yeah, it's Cowboys Steelers, which you can hear on 102.5 The Game.
Starting it.
At 6:45-ish.
Love it.
We got a triple header on Sunday. Ravens-Bengals should be a good game. Packers and Rams, and then Cowboys Steelers, and then our 94.9 Bills at Texans.
Oh, dude. You got a quadruple header there, pal.
We are your football destination.
We are. Quadruple station that's going on there.
So I was listening to Robbie and Rex Road talk about this during their pick segment. How do you think this Vanderbilt Alabama game is going to go? Do you think it's just going to be a complete throttling by Alabama, or do you actually think Vanderbilt's going to give it a game?
Why do you ask questions when you already know the answer to them?
Because I'm doing a 2-hour radio show and I want to make content.
I think it's the same, you know, it's the expectation, like, can it be different? Can it be different? Can it be different? And then it's not different. I think Pavia is something Alabama hasn't seen all year. And if he can get rolling and get some steam going, and look, you're going to play better against Alabama because they're the number one team in the country just because they're Alabama. And I hope they play tough. I hope it's not 59-0 like it was back in 2017. I hope they really play hard, and it's a good game, and you know. But the question are, how's Alabama emotionally coming off that tough, you know, win over Georgia, and looking forwards down the schedule, and like, oh, it's Vanderbilt, we'll look over him. I hope Vanderbilt thinks that Alabama's thinking that way, but in the end, it'll be probably as we thought it would be.
I mean, I think so too, but I feel like this is also, and I know if Clark's listening, he doesn't want to hear this, but you have to start somewhere, and as you're kind of rebuilding and you know, trying to make this program into something, unfortunately moral victories are a part of it.
Yeah.
Like, you have to get to a point where it's like, all right, hey, Missouri, we were in that game, we had a position, we were in a position to win that game. Well, for a long time you weren't even in those positions.
That's right.
So, you know, I look at it as, if Alabama comes in here and they cover the spread, if Vanderbilt somehow covers the 22.5, which means you keep them to 3 touchdowns or lower, it's not a win, but that's, you know, it's nothing to be ashamed of going up against the number one team in the country.
Oh, I totally agree. And look, hold on, see here. I don't know if this is accurate or not, but it said the last time a number one football team lost to an unranked team was in 2007. When the University of Alabama lost to Monroe, Nick Saban's first, they were number one. This is AI. This is why you can't trust AI, folks.
Yeah. I mean, I remember that game. That was Saban's first year.
Yeah. Yep.
But I don't think that was, I don't think they were number one.
I just typed in, when's the last time an unranked team defeated a number one team? And it popped, first thing popped up was 2007, Monroe over Alabama. I know that's not accurate. You can't trust AI, Dr. Crane.
You can't.
You can't.
I know you've tried to, but you can't do that.
No, you can't do that.
He wouldn't.
No.
Yeah, he wouldn't. Dr. Crane's not that way.
I don't like my voice on other things. I just like to, if it's me, it's me. It's not a robot.
Yeah. 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line. driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dwight in Kentucky says, yes, but through all that trouble and turmoil, the Tennessee players are still winners of life.
He's right about that.
Champions of life.
Champions of life. I mean, do you remember when it all truly went to hell up there for Butch? Is the time when he blamed the media for all the infighting in the team? And when he did that, I was like, all right, Butch, you're done. And then after the Missouri game, he was done.
He was indeed. And now they have moved on to much bigger and better things. For sure. 615-737-1025. Again, we got a packed show for you. We'll talk high school football coming up at 9:30. We'll also talk to some WWE superstars at 10 and a little Titans with Chris Sanders at 10:30. We're up and running here on a Friday. Chasing Big Joe, 1025-1063, the game.
Baby, I'm a fireball.
Chasing Big Joe, 1025, 1063, the game here on this Friday.
Pitbull.
Pitbull puts us all feeling good.
Real quick, Pitbull Stadium at Florida International University. Did you see the jersey unveil last night of the Vice uniforms?
Miami Vice.
I mean, I'm in love. I'm in absolute love. And Middle Tennessee plays in the last game of the year, too. So hopefully they'll wear them for that game.
That would be awesome. Those Miami Vice. Oh, that would be awesome. Looky who is called in. Let's see. We're less than a week from opening night at Bridgestone Arena. SmackDown's there tonight. There's a preseason game tomorrow. So I guess he saw the bat signal. Sean Henry joins us now. Hello, Sean.
Yeah, I haven't heard from you in 6 months since we stopped playing hockey. It's like the problem all over again. I hear you're sneaking around with Ian Ayers and Burke Nihil. Where's our appointment, man?
Those two guys don't take my calls, so, don't worry about that. You do, at 3 in the morning.
How are you guys?
We're wonderful. How are you? You got to be excited. It's going to be a fun week. Got Preds Fest on Sunday as well.
You know what? I was thinking about you today, Chase. I was heading off the normal text I get at a wrestling match at 7:15 when you make me feel badly if I'm not at work, saying, are you here? It's like, are you up? And so I'll probably call you in, and maybe I'll see you tonight, maybe I won't, but definitely see you tomorrow and hopefully Sunday too. It's it is a fun weekend, but I was really just driving in and I noticed it was 9:15. I haven't talked to you guys in a long time.
Well, I'm glad.
By the way, Pitbull Stadium. When I retire, I'm going to buy the naming rights to the Bridgestone Arena if you guys hire me. If I need some extra money.
Okay.
Henry Arena.
We could probably make that happen. Sean Henry Stadium.
I'm calling in with a complaint, fellas.
Okay.
How come the Giants aren't on your network on Sunday?
Because I can't get the rights to them, but I can get the rights to the team that you hate.
The team I hate? Oh, the team you love. I forgot about that ugly blue star.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That one.
America's most wanted team. That's not America's team.
No, I think Georgia might be that right now. That's completely different. Completely different. But, yeah, we got to look. I would love to have the Giants, but they weren't offered up.
Well, it might be the worst year to have them. So I'm sure you can have them for, like, a bag of magic beans that aren't that magical.
Yeah.
It's a long season for us Giants. Good news is we'll get the number one draft pick, and I'm sure we'll waste it. So I hope we can get another quarterback maybe from Duke or Wake Forest or maybe Brown.
Yeah, you never know. One of those for sure.
What you need to get is a quarterback from Morehead State who knows how to win.
Dude, the greatest gift I was ever given by our friend Pokester, a Phil Sims bobblehead in a Morehead State jersey. I'm not even kidding. I saw that, tears came in my eyes. I love the Sims family. I'm just mad that we didn't get Chris Sims in his career, too.
Well, we had him here for. We had Chris Sims in 2008 for about 6 weeks. So
it wasn't the other one at Tennessee?
He was a tough.
No, he went to Texas.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
No, he did go there. Where did he go?
Yeah, there was a Tennessee.
Matt Sims.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got us all confused.
I didn't know there was
Sean.
Another one. I only know two Sims. Well, Billy Sims, too, but I don't think he's related, and he didn't play for the Giants.
There you go. Sean, we always appreciate it.
Well, I can't wait till we schedule the real thing and play real hockey, but it'll be fun tomorrow as well.
Yes, it will.
Hope to see you guys. And I'll definitely see you tonight, right? You're sitting ringside?
I might be in the match. I don't know. We got a couple of superstars coming in studio, so who knows? They might let me be their manager.
All right. Well, I will see you guys tonight, tomorrow, Sunday, and then the real thing.
Hey, before you go, what's going on Sunday?
Preds Fest, man. It is a celebration of all the best things in the world and gold and paying homage to our season ticket holders, the Smashville Royal, getting a chance to meet the team a little bit. Autograph sessions, 3 live concerts, just a lot of fun in the park, and the weather is going to be spectacular. It's going to be fun. It's a way to celebrate, you know, everything about the Preds and the launch. You know, I always say opening week is special in every sport, and you know, we're going to make this a full week and not just a few hours on Thursday.
What time?
We'll get out there 12 to 4.
12 to 4. Okay. All right. And it's free and everything, all that?
It is free, and if you're a season ticket holder, it's better than free. You get special perks, too. But, again, you might want to fact-check all my details because, as you guys know, I don't really know how to spell details. But I'm pretty certain it's 12 to 4 on Sunday.
Very cool. We will continue to get the word out on that. Sean, thanks so much.
All right. Good luck answering those phones back from those other guys.
I'm not worried about that. Thanks, Sean. Sean Henry,
man.
The CEO, Nashville Predators. And, yes, next week, opening week, really looking forward to that in Preds Fest. Coming up on Sunday. Going to be cool.
Who do they play Tuesday? Are they road Tuesday, the Preds?
No, Monday night is the makeup against at Tampa.
So when's the first game? Thursday?
Thursday, okay. Here against Dallas.
Nice. And then there's a Saturday game, right?
At Detroit.
What is he, Saturday? Already on the road. Okay.
Yep. They got a handful of like little road trips at the beginning of the year.
Then they have the CMA road trip, which I hear they hate that being called.
Yeah, well, I mean, whatever it is.
That's what it is, man.
They have to leave for like 2 weeks, essentially.
It's nothing personal.
It ain't you.
It's just business.
All right, so you've done some digging on
Yeah.
Somebody had said that Alabama's last.
Well, we're talking about Alabama's number one. I'm looking up the last time a number one team in college football lost to an unranked team. You have to go back 3 years ago, 21. Alabama lost to Texas A&M. I had no idea that Texas A&M was not ranked that year, but in 2021, they beat Alabama unranked.
Well, and the answer to a trivia question will always be, who is the first Saban disciple to actually beat Nick Saban? And it was Jimbo Fisher.
The other thing we had was the last time Alabama lost to a non-conference unranked team was 2007, and that was Lousy Anna Monroe. All right, Tennessee fans, listen to this.
Lousy Anna.
When Auburn rolled in 1985 with Bo Jackson in Neyland Stadium, they were ranked number one. The Vols were not in the top 25, and that was the epic beatdown of Bo Jackson in Neyland Stadium on that warm September day in 1985. So the Vols play a part about on this too as well. 2007, LSU was ranked number one. Arkansas beat them. They were unranked. And there's a few others throughout history that go down there. So it has happened. It doesn't happen a lot, but it does.
What is the greatest, and this can be open to interpretation, what is the greatest upset in college football history?
A lot of people will go with Appalachian State over Michigan, yep, which was a big one.
But I think there's some recency bias there, probably.
True. But Stanford was a 41-point underdog to USC in 2007 and beat them.
Was that Andrew Luck?
No.
It was before him?
It's Jim Harbaugh was at Stanford.
Yeah.
41-point underdog, and Stanford beat him.
Was Derek Mason on that staff, or was he?
I don't think so, no.
Yeah. Mm-mm. 07, yeah.
But Nick Holtz. What's his name?
Holtz.
I think he was on that staff.
Oh, wow.
I think we asked him about that, too.
Yeah. So that may be the biggest spread, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't know. But I also think that question's kind of open to interpretation.
Well, I mean, like anytime a lower level beats a Power 5.
I mean,
time,
Northern Illinois beating Notre Dame was
huge.
Yeah.
Huge. Boise State of Oklahoma in the Fiesta Bowl.
Still one of my favorite games.
The hook and ladder.
Time.
Why don't more teams run the hook and ladder? It always works.
Hook and ladder and the Statue of Liberty.
Back to back. It's like a backyard heaven, man, for all that went on.
I haven't seen anyone run the Statue of Liberty. I mean, maybe they've tried it and I've just missed it, but I haven't seen that since that game.
Oh, man. I saw it in high school, worked to perfection. But, yeah, in the big college or pro, yeah.
Yeah, it's just like.
It always works, man. I know. They outlawed the fumble rooski.
Yeah.
Which was how that play always worked blows my mind because you're literally putting the ball on the ground.
The quarterback just lays it down, right?
Yeah, and the guy picks it up. And it just it always worked. Nebraska would run it all the time, and you couldn't stop big-ass Dean Steinkuhler at 6'3", 320 running over you. And so they stopped doing that play. But the trick plays, trick plays almost, if they don't work, they're epically bad. There's really no in-between.
Right.
So I think more teams need to do. What was the game recently? It was a trick play, and the running back threw it back to the quarterback, but it was a lateral, but people just stood there, and then some dude just walked over and casually picked it up and ran like 80 yards for a touchdown. So, again, they end trick plays. They're like, oh, my God, he's so wide open. Or it ends like, oh, what in the hell just happened right there?
I love that stuff. Like the, they tried to run one last night with like a – basically the halfback pass, the toss, it was like a toss sweep, and then the halfback, kind of rolled around, and he ended up throwing it away. But
what's that called, the New England special, the Philly special they did in the Super Bowl with Nick Foles?
Well, Philly special is, he was it a direct snap? The tight end threw the pass.
You toss to the running back, who tosses it to the receiver, the quarterback rolls out in the flat, and they throw it out there. That almost always works.
The flea flicker. I mean, the flea flicker is an iconic – I love the flea flicker.
Miami used that last weekend against Virginia Tech. I think it was the first quarter. Ward. They ran up the middle and tossed back to Cam Ward, and it was over the middle. The seam route to the tight end.
God, it's always open. Because we talked with Chris Sanders about that. When the DB peeks in the backfield, you got him. You're done. The guy sprints down the field, and he's wide open, man. But the flea flicker, I always think of Billy White Shoes Johnson when that. Because he was always open down the field when they throw the ball to him on a flea flicker. Always.
Yeah, I told FRA's coach one time, it was the last game of the year, it was senior night, playing a team that, we were better than, like, hey, air it out, just run something fun, first play from scrimmage. And so they did. They had two quarterbacks. One went out wide, essentially, and they were brothers too. So it was a snap, handoff, lateral back to the other one, who tossed it downfield where the receiver had a linebacker to beat, was wide open. I mean, the linebackers, look, I felt bad for the kid. Like, he's just looking there like, crap. Like, what do I do?
So we need, Clark Lee, if you're listening, run a hook and ladder this weekend just for us, just to get it off our chest. So
first play, bomb it. Just bomb it. Something, just go for it.
Might as well, right? You can tire the DB out and do that. That's another problem I got in the National Football League. Nobody takes deep shots anymore. I'd take 10 a game. So what? Who cares?
Right. We'll get Brian Lilly to do that coming up next. Okay. James Lawson, high school football coach, going to join us for our high school football segment. We'll do that next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. And she said, yes, we didn't go to church, but I'm blessed. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, here on this Friday. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase McKay. We'll have some high school football talk in a second. We're talking about plays, fun plays to run. Alex from Nashville said on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, said, what about the Todd Downing special where Burks throws it all the way across the field? It's a good one. Say hello to Coach Brian Lilly from James Lawson High School. Coach, how you doing?
Hey, good morning, fellas. My phone was connected to my car, so I got off a little bit right there.
Oh, you're all good. How's everything going with you and your team so far?
I mean, so far, so good. I mean, one of the greatest things we have going right now, our biggest strength is also one of our biggest weaknesses, is that we're very much filled with youth. We have 11 of our 22 starters are sophomores, which is a great thing for the future. And, along the way, that there's some trials and tribulations that come along with that. But it's exciting because these guys are coming in each and every Friday and, going to work. Coming up short, sometimes, but at the same time, I've been proud of them, especially their effort. And a lot of these guys, first time playing varsity football.
Do you get that sense that there's some ownership from your team, that they're building something special? Lawson's obviously a new school, a derivative of Hillwood, but it's new in its own right. So do you feel like that your guys are taking ownership of, they're able to, you know, really build it from the ground up.
100%. Last year, these guys, that these sophomores, they won the Metro Nashville Public Schools Freshman City Championship, so that was a big deal. And so those guys are used to coming out there and competing, you know, for wins each and every night. And I think being able to start off last year, we started off our football season June, July, and part of August still at Hillwood. So it was one of those things that just to kind of be the humble beginnings to where we're going now. The freshmen kind of understood last year, who the sophomores now, you know, understood where they were coming from and why this was so important and why the upperclassmen were so thankful for what they had. But I do think there's a foundation that's being built here, and I think that's the coolest thing about it is it's a little different, right? It's a new school, but it's not. But it is. And I think that those are the great things, is being able to take ownership in it and to be able to start something special. I think that's the biggest deal, is to start something special and continue to segue that into the future.
We love talking high school football here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, joined now by James Lawson, high school head football coach Brian Lilly. Coach, we appreciate you doing this. We love football. We love Metro football. Tonight, your team takes on the Page Patriots, who through this season, I think six games, have not given up a single point, which is just unbelievable. How do you attack this football team when nobody else has been able to do that?
How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time, right?
Yes.
Biggest thing. And, you know, I think, you know, Coach over there, Coach Rathbone, he's awesome. One of my great friends, Scott Wells, who I worked up with at Brentwood Academy for many of years as their offensive line coach. I mean, they're coached well. It's a first-class program. I'm proud of those guys. I love them. To be able to watch them be able to play each and every Friday, and I root for them other than, obviously, you know, tonight. But in those situations, I think the biggest deal is, first, you know, it's something like 219 and zero on the season of giving up points. So, you know, obviously our goal each and every week is to win. But, you know, realistically, you know, for us to be able to compete to win this game tonight, we have to score, right? And that's everything that anyone's faced against them, you know, each and every week is their defense, which has been awesome, to be able to score on those guys is the biggest deal. And a shout out to their defensive coordinator, the defensive staff, for doing an awesome job. You know, and I think that's the biggest deal is they have a plethora of a senior class that has so many high-level recruits that all have earned that honor. To be able to go out there tonight and to not back down for any challenge. You know, one of my great coaches that coached me back in the day said, you know, we respect all and fear none. You know, and that's the biggest deal. Let's call it like it is. This is a great team, number one team in the state for a reason. But we go out each and every Friday, regardless of who's over there, do our best. And then when it's 0-0 at the end, let's see what it is. Obviously, that's a little bit of coach speak, but, you know, we have to know that when we go out there, it doesn't matter who's over there. We have to control what we can control. Control the controllables. Last week in the weather, control the controllables. If it's stuff that you can't control, don't worry about it. Keep it moving. But, yeah, it's definitely going to be a daunting task. But, you know, crazier things have happened.
They certainly have. You've lost two games by 4 points, so you're in these games. How do you get the guys to keep pressing on when I've lost close games in my career, and they could be crushing? How, as a head coach, do you tell the guys, all right, let's move on, we got another big game happening?
I think that's the 1-0 approach that we learned from Coach Herman a couple years ago whenever I went to visit them, and he's at U of H, is, you know, each and every week, each and every play, each and every game, it's a 1-0 approach. And so, which I think he got from Coach Meyer. But, you know, the biggest deal is you know, with that youth comes inexperience, right? Ignorance is bliss, and we haven't finished well down the stretch, getting Spring Hill into overtime, having a league versus Hillsboro, and ultimately them kicking a field goal time expired to win the game. You know, we haven't finished exactly as well as we should, but that comes with that inexperience. But we still understand, we talk through those situations. And I think that the biggest deal is these guys, especially the guys that we have, the sophomores, you know, this is something that's foreign to them, is you know, they're tired of losing, and that they communicate that eloquently, you know. And I think that the biggest thing is to be able to build off of those losses. How can we get better off them? What can we learn from there? Especially whenever I have a son that's 3 years old right now. We're just going through that phase of teaching him to process his emotions and things like that. I think kids are big time emotions nowadays more than ever, where it's like super excited or they're super sad, and everywhere in the middle, and be able to process those emotions, control what we can, is the biggest deal. And I have a great coaching staff. And I think the coolest thing about it is being able to feel that emotion, feel that pain, you know, sick to our stomach last week at the end result, but understand that I'm going to work that much harder to never feel like this ever again. I think that's the biggest deal, is because I hate this feeling. I promise you right now, y'all are frustrated with losing. I'm the most frustrated person out here. But as I know, as your leader, I have to be able to have my composure, process my emotions, and be able to rally y'all, just like, you know, I'm your football dad. That's really what it is.
I love it. We're talking to Brian Lilly, head football coach at Lawson High School. Coach, you know, we talk about community support and getting the community out to support your football team. What would you like to see from the Bellevue community out there? Because the Cheatham County game had friends with the game, great atmosphere, packed stands, everything. What do you need from the community to help support these young men?
Well, I think the awesome thing is Bellevue has been just watering at the mouth to have a school back out here since 1980. And so the Bellevue community has been awesome in their support, you know, the graduates of Bellevue High School back in the day. And we continue to get those graduates from Hillwood, you know, to understand both those schools, to understand it's a crazy thing that you have this new school, but yet you have the alumni of both these schools, of Bellevue High School and Hillwood High School, that this is their school. This is where their history has went. Whenever their school ended, it didn't just end all their history. This is where it is. This is your school to be proud of. And these young men here are something to be proud of and to support. And so the Bellevue community has done an awesome job. I mean, when we go out to the Bellevue picnic, we go out to the Red Caduce Park, you know, those kind of things. I mean, they're all about it. And, you know, hear people saying, oh, I just listen. I sit on my porch, you know, on Friday nights and just listen to the announcer during the game. I think that's the great thing. Mm-hmm. But continuing to show up, our student section this year has done very well, being able just to show up. And I think it takes just a few to be able to rally the troops. And the cool thing is we've had that support. You know, even last week in the rain, you know, we had a great student section, and it was probably most of the ticket sales came from our student section. And so the biggest deal is, I think, is just to continue to support, understanding that, you know, we're going through a little tough stretch right here, but the future is really bright. And we talk about that all the time. It's kind of like a slogan. The future is bright in Bellevue, because it is. Like what we have going right here, the coolest thing is, though, with our young team, we have great seniors and juniors, but I think that what we're trying to do is match the outside of this beautiful campus. We're trying to make the insides of our hearts match what this school looks like. And we have some boys that were maturing into men, you know, some taking it a little tougher than others. But it's very exciting for the future, and we actually had great support from our community.
Well, I love it. And having grown up in the Bellevue area, I know what a great community it is, and glad that you're getting that support. Coach, thanks so much for doing this, and best of luck tonight against Page.
Hey, I appreciate y'all. Thanks again for having me on and thinking of me. Let's go Lightning.
Absolutely. Coach Brian Lilly on the line with us. Lawson High School, they take on Page tonight, and we say it every week when we wrap up these interviews. Go out, support a high school. I went to a game last week. It was so much fun. Just the atmosphere.
And the rain, too,
Chase. In the pouring down rain. And loved seeing the umbrellas and everything in front of me. But it is the purest form of football, for sure.
It is. And you know, I'll always default to Metro high school teams because that's how I grew up. That's my DA. So support the Metro teams. I'm telling you, man, nothing better than look in the stands and see people. Nothing better.
Oh, yeah.
And you could do that, and it costs very little to do that. It's a fun Friday night.
Well, and I'll, you know, we'll talk about this as we get closer, but, you know, a lot of teams, four games left, and that's it.
Crazy, isn't it?
And I'll never forget, you know, when my senior year, walking with my friends that played, walking on the field after the game, and it was just like that, this is it.
Yeah,
it's over.
It is. I mean, it happens so fast. As our good friend Greg Wyant always told us, you're only promised 40 quarters. Mm-hmm. My high school, and I not high school, ended on a Hail Mary against NBA. They threw a Hail Mary and beat us in the last second. And so that's how my career ended. And I was mad for years, but now I was like, my, I'm so grateful for the journey, for all these brothers that I have that I talk to all the time. We played football together. It is, to me, the greatest sport that God ever created.
Yes, it is, indeed. We will have some WWE superstars in studio with us, Nia Jax, the women's champion, and Miss Money in the Bank, Tiffany Stratton, coming up at the top of the hour. More Chase and Big Joe next, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, little Pitbull on a Friday.
Oh, yeah. Well, the weekend hitting hard now, man. All right. At 9:48.
I kind of feel like that should be, it should be a Pitbull Friday every Friday.
Might as well, right?
I think we just established that here on the
I
show.
I can see Dr. Crane at the club with his white New Balance, his polo shirt tucked in, and just going back and forth. Hanging's by the bar, and the ladies walk up, and you're like, hey, ladies, that's it.
What do you think, I'm 40?
Yeah.
Want to see my woodworking?
I do have a router coming in today. I'm pretty pumped about it.
Want to see my woodworking? Yes. And you pull out your charcuterie boards that you make.
And you know what? They'd probably love it.
Heck yeah, they'd love it. They'd go from like, ew, to like, oh.
You make a honeycomb version of that? Sure can.
Can you?
Yeah.
You can do it all, man.
I mean, you put your mind to it, you can do anything.
True.
You should be
a head football coach somewhere, man.
I wouldn't mind doing some football coaching. That'd be pretty fun. Just say, hey, give me 50. And they just do 50.
No, you're that coach. So there's different kind of coaches, right? Like you got the head coach that's kind of the balanced one. But, you got the big O-line coach. It's like, let's go, boys, let's go. You know, Dr. Crane kind of looks like maybe the strength and conditioning guy or maybe the DB's coach. Just got the whistle on, like the visor. Just standing there clapping. Like, let's go. Let's go. Everybody get on. Let's go.
He's not wrong. I was the juice
coaching guy. Shorts?
No.
Pulled up to your neck?
Come on, Joe. Come on, man. Give me a little respect here.
Those coaching shorts that we all grew up on are icon. They need to come back because they were something to see.
Yeah, they're something for sure.
Quick story. In junior college, we all got in trouble. The defense, we had to run. We had a coach who liked to wear his coaching shorts up to his neck. But he liked to outrun us. He'd do drills with us. And one time he was running, and he fell down in front of us in all those tight shorts. And our thing was like, and the rest of my life, I could never not unsee that. That'll haunt me the rest of my life, and it did. So I'm always wanting to bring back those coaching shorts.
I those are just tremendous.
Yeah, they're the best.
I'm trying to find something because I could see Dr. Crane. Like I said, he could be a strength and conditioning coach too. And who was that guy that was the he was a strength and conditioning coach, Scott Cochran.
At Alabama.
Like this would be Dr. Crane.
Oh yeah, got the dancing bag, get you some.
That's true.
You're a Bentley right now. I'm just going to put spinners on that thing.
Remember all that?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, pull your pants up. Damn.
You know, it's funny. ESPN.com just did a story about his addiction to painkillers.
Wow.
He went from Alabama to Georgia, had a fall from grace, and now he's kind of rebounding everything. Yeah, so.
I need you lower! Bam! Hit it!
Strength coach, man.
I'd hate squat day, but I'd love to do that. That'd be pretty funny.
Oh, you'd be great at it. And you get that raspy voice because you're yelling so much.
Come on, do it.
There you go. That's Dr. Crane, Coach Nick.
You hate all of them until you get out and become a man. You're like, God, I miss those coaches.
Yeah.
As I say, if a coach isn't yelling at you, you might as well just hang it up.
Because he doesn't care. If somebody's yelling at you and you're on their list, that means they care about
you. That's right. It's that simple. And trust me, I've been yelled at a lot of coaches, but I loved every second of it. I miss all that.
Were you ever accused of loafing?
Yeah, we all were. I mean, that's the coach's go-to.
Oh, yeah. I was like, why are you loafing?
Yep. I got knocked out in a game one time. I had helmets collide, and I got accused of loafing. And I said, I can't. My head's spinning. He's like, well, sit down and get it back together, get back in the game. That's how far we've come with concussions.
Yeah.
It was. Now it's kind of like, all right, you're out for 6 weeks. You're not going back in the game.
Go over there.
Yep.
What was interesting is, I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago, something on game day. I've really gotten where I'm watching it again because I like how they're using Nick Saban. And they played the clip of, Deion stopped practice and basically restarted practice one day because they were, weren't practicing to his standards. And so they asked Coach Saban, did you ever do that? And he was like, it depended on the situation, but I didn't necessarily want to restart practice. I would restart a drill. I would restart a period.
Yeah.
If I felt like we were out there messing around and, didn't have our stuff together,
right.
But he goes, I don't have a problem with that. I mean, if you got to get their attention because you play the way you practice. Like, he went into that whole thing.
Yeah, he's smart. To restart a drill instead of practice. We got Bowden one time stopped a practice about 40 minutes in and just canceled it. So just go. Get out of here. I don't want to see you. And we were like, yay! And then,
yeah, but what does that accomplish? I don't think that really accomplished.
Well, it did, because you go back the next day, you had the best practice ever, because you're like, oh, God, we let. Because it's not so much we didn't like Bowden. We loved our position coaches.
Yeah.
And you felt like you let them down. And it was like, oh, man. And then you kind of rattled like, all right, we'll do better tomorrow. And we had amazing practices. Just amazing practice. Sometimes your disappointment is, it hits hard. And it, you know, you sit back like, oh, man, it does. This is terrible. So we went about the next day and had a really good practice. But I get both of those. I mean, restarting a drill, that happens all the time.
Yeah, for sure. Coming up next, WWE SmackDown is at Bridgestone Arena tonight. We've been telling you about that. We gave tickets away. And two of the superstars you will see, Nia Jax and Tiffany Stratton, will be in studio with us. Really looking forward to that. That is all coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.